In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. In this fourth week of the month of Kiyak, we conclude the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark with the birth of St. John the Baptist. And we see in this passage that both Elizabeth and St. And Zacharias submitted to the will of God in naming their son John, although there was none of their relatives named this name, and this was the custom at the time, that part of keeping the name of the family, they would pass on the names from their, you know, fathers and grandfathers. So we see this submission to God, not only in this story, but actually in the whole narrative. We saw from the very beginning, when Archangel Gabriel came to announce to St. Mary that she would have a child without the seed of man. She submitted to this, although this was, this would put her in great risk. Because if this was something that was known publicly, she could be stoned for this. And she accepted this even despite the risk that were involved. And of course, this would be also mean that she would kind of be shunned from the community. She'd be labeled and so on. And Saint Joseph, the same thing. He submitted to God and he continued to house Saint Mary despite this accusation that would be against her. And when he knew about it, he wanted to send her away. When the angel appeared to him and told him that this was from the Holy Spirit, he accepted to not only care for St. Mary, but go to Egypt with her, return with her, and care for her until he himself departed. And today we see also St. John the Baptist in his life as well, from the very beginning, that he accepted to respond to the callings of God, directing him to the wilderness when he was young, and staying in the wilderness, and also directing him to come out and to minister to the people. All of this, we find this the theme of submitting to the will of God. So I'll speak very briefly this morning about how is it that we can submit to the will of God or submit to God. I think in preparing this, or some of the prerequisites, in order for us to submit to the will of God, there are three things. Number one, we have to have faith in God's love. We have to have faith that God is, and whatever He's arranging for my life, He's doing so out of His love for us. And this is something we must believe that He loves us. And notice here that I said that we believe that He loves us. Because sometimes, you know, we can submit, or some people can submit to someone thinking that they love them, but they really don't. Like a gang leader, right, or a gang member. A gang member follows and submits to the gang leader not because he believes that the gang leader loves him and there's a sense of acceptance in family. But in actuality, does the gang leader love him? No. Sometimes they put him out and they tell him to do crimes and find themselves in prison. So he doesn't really actually love them, but it seems the person believes that they love him. Newborns are born with a natural belief and trust in their mother to provide nourishment and protection from them from the moment they are born. God expresses His love to us throughout all of Scripture, and if you look at the whole story of salvation, it's simply out of love for you and I. In Isaiah 43, He says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." Again, the calling of the name shows an element of love and possession. You are mine. You are precious in my sight. You have been honored, and I have loved you. Very plain. Also, the second thing, we have to trust in God's providence. Trusting His providence that what He arranges for me is what is good for me. St. Augustine says, the beginning of submission is trust, for without trust, the heart cannot yield. So if there's no trust that what God is arranging for me is what is good, even despite that it looks like perhaps it's going through a hardship or something bad, I will never submit to Him. Again, if you look at the story of Joseph, from when he was thrown into the pit, to sold as a slave, to thrown in prison, through all these hardships, he submitted to God, believing that God is arranging his life. Again, this is very difficult to do, especially when there are hard times that are before us. But in order for us really to submit to God, we have to believe that what He's doing in my life is for my betterment. Lastly, and we must also be willing to obey. One can know of God's love and believe that God is guiding him or her. However, if there is no willingness to obey, there can really be no submission. So I can know God's love, and I can have faith that what he's doing in my life is for my betterment. But at the end of the day, if there's no willingness to submit to something outside of myself or someone outside of myself, there is really no submission that can be had. In the beginning of King Saul's life, he began his life submitting to God. And when God called him to be king, he agreed humbly to be king. And even in the beginning of his kingship, he had a victory over the Ammonites. And after this victory, he says, "What today the Lord has accomplished salvation in Israel." So he believed the victory was from God. And he saw God's work against the Philistines and how God sent David, and David conquered Goliath, and the people of Israel won. But there came a time at Gilgal when Samuel told him, don't offer sacrifice until I come back. And then because of the pressures of the moment, he offered a sacrifice, and he did what was not fitting for the king to do, which was for the prophet or for the priest, and he did it. So we see that here he wasn't willing to obey. Although maybe he believed that God loved him and God was arranging his life, but in this moment of pressure, he wasn't willing to obey. Submission begins with a heart willing to yield and say, "Not my will, but your will be done." So how is it that we live this life of submission? Number one, we must seek God through prayer. We have to seek him through prayer. If I want to know God's will for my life, then I must communicate with him to know what he wants. I can't know what's in the heart of someone if I don't speak with them. So this is the first and foremost thing. We have to speak with him in prayer. Where was it that Zacharias heard of the will of God? It was while he was in the temple praying, right? When it was his time to offer incense, he was praying. Then the angel came to him and revealed to him the will of God for him. It was during prayer. Abraham, God's promised him that he would multiply his descendants. And again, while he was communicating with God, Abraham didn't see this fulfilled for many generations to come, certainly not in his lifetime. So we might say, okay, why is it that God sends us a promise or gives us a promise and doesn't fulfill it, not even in our lifetime? Because then we can stand before him in prayer and say, "What is next, Lord?" If he told us all his plan in the very beginning of our life, then we wouldn't really go back to him. We'd say, okay, we know his plan. At the end of the day, this is what he's going to do. So I'll just live my life and knowing that God will take care of everything else. He wants us to go back to him. That's why he never reveals to us the whole plan, but little bits and pieces at a time as he sees fit. Number two, in order for us to live this life of submission, we need to remember God's previous work with us in our life. How many times have we asked God for something or asked him to help in a situation, and he has? This is a gained experience that I have with God, and we need to remember these. So when we're tested, we remember, no, God guided me in such and such a time. When I felt very stressed and confined financially or mentally or emotionally, God was there. Right? And he guided me through it, and everything worked out fine. The Lord Jesus teaches us to not to worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. He says, don't worry about the plans for in tomorrow and the next day. Just worry about my plan for you today in the present moment. Lastly, in order for us to submit to the will of God, we must faithfully take action. We must, with faith, take action. And oftentimes, we need to take action without giving much thought or weight to the rationale, the consequences, or the challenges. Sometimes when we submit to God, we don't need to give much thought about these three things. I'm going to give you an example of each. Because there's always an element of ambiguity when we submit to God. There's things that we're not sure of or we don't know in submitting to God. We don't know all the details, but we go in it trusting in him. For example, St. Peter, when Christ told him to go out and cast out the net in the deep again. St. Peter is an experienced fisherman, and he knows that we don't do this. But again, there's this level of ambiguity, okay? He's telling me to do this, but my experience tells me that this is not going to work, but I'm going to do it anyway. And he does it, and from this he caught many fish, and ultimately he became a disciple. God instructed Abraham to go and offer his son Isaac, his only son, as a burnt sacrifice. Abraham thought to himself, okay, or maybe if we were Abraham, thought to him, but you told me that in my seed I will have many generations, and this is the child of promise, and now you want me to go kill him? So there's something he doesn't understand. What's going to happen to him if he dies? He doesn't know. But he did it anyway. And then we see the end of the story, how the angel kept him from killing his son, and he blessed Abraham. Noah. So Peter, there's this element of rationale. Abraham, he didn't understand the consequence of what would happen in his submission to God. And Noah didn't consider the challenges when he was instructed to build the ark. How long this would take over 100 years to build. How foolish he would look building this huge boat, perhaps bigger than many houses at the time, in his backyard, and people mocking him, ridiculing him, saying, what are you doing? And he would tell them, well, there's going to be a flood. And they're laughing at him. And he says, come join me on this boat. They said, we're not joining you on your fairy tale. All this stuff you probably heard. Again, he didn't look at the challenges. He didn't look at it. He submitted to God despite the challenges. Abraham submitted to God despite the consequences. And St. Peter submitted to God despite it being contrary to his rationale. What are three obstacles in submitting to God? Number one, of course, is our pride. In order for us to submit, we have to give up a little bit of pride. Solomon says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. In order for us to reach our full potential in God's eyes, we must submit ourselves to Him in humility. We must let go of our pride a little bit. If it's like a rock, right? If you had a piece of stone, the piece of stone, as long as it tells itself that I'm strong and capable, will never be able to be turned into something beautiful by a sculptor. It will always just remain a rock, ordinary like any other rock. But as soon as the rock says to itself, okay, I'm allowing myself to be hit and banged by this hammer and this chisel, then I can take a shape that is beautiful than I was originally, you know, thought of myself to be. We have to let go of our pride. Number two is that sometimes the fear of the future will hinder us from submitting to God. Again, I'll go back to the example of Saul. When he was in Gilgal, there were about 30,000 soldiers who were coming before him, and he was supposed to wait 7 days for Samuel to return, and he didn't return in time. So he said to himself, I will offer the sacrifice myself. And of course, immediately after he did this, Samuel came. What is his reply then to Samuel? What is Saul's reply? Look at what the excuses that he gives. He says, when I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will come down on me at Gilgal, and I have made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. So all of these things, he said, I was compelled. I had to do it. You didn't come, so I did it. Right? So there was this element of fear of the future, and he couldn't wait any longer, so he did it himself. He couldn't wait and submit to God's instruction to wait for Samuel. Sometimes, my beloved, the fear of the future will keep us from submitting to God's will. How will God arrange X, Y, and Z if I take this decision? And if I know this is where God is leading me, I'm not saying here that we shouldn't try to calculate things to the best of our ability. But like I said, there will always be some things that are left ambiguous, that we don't know of. Why? So when we go into this phase of our life, or this submission to God, we do so with faith, not relying on our own calculations. Lastly, sometimes the busyness of life keeps us from submitting to God. I'll read for you a passage from the prophet Haggai. Listen to what he says. He says, now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put in a bag with holes. So he says, you guys are just spinning your wheels, spinning your wheels. You work to make money, which is never enough to buy the things that you never have enough for, or enough of. He says, okay, you're busy just making a profit. Then he continues and he says what? You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs in his own house. So he's rebuking them for leaving the house of God broken and being more concerned with their own houses. So what is he saying here? That they're busy in their life and they forgot God completely. Right? They forgot him. Again, in order for us to submit to God, we have to have this time where we calm down and commune with him and to speak with him in prayer and through scripture. Lastly, what are the blessings of submitting to God? When we submit to God, we live in faith. Nothing can overcome us. In Psalm 128 in the Igbeya, it says, many times they have warred against me from my youth, and yet they have not prevailed against me. So when I live in submission to God, then even the people who are against me or the things that seem against me don't trouble me, because I know I'm following God's plan, and even the hardships that come upon me are for my betterment. Also in Psalm 26, it says, though an army should fight me, my heart shall not be afraid. Though war should rise up against me, and this I am confident. Imagine how beautiful it would be to live our life, never to be disturbed by the circumstances around us. When we submit to God in our life, it can be done. Secondly, the second blessing is that we live without fear. St. Peter had a beautiful experience with the Lord during his ministry. And at the end of the day, he learned to submit himself to God and to the Lord. When he asked him the third time, Peter, do you love me? And at the end he says, you know, Lord, all things. He wasn't depending on himself anymore and saying, yes, Lord, I will do X, Y, and Z. He says, Lord, you know all things. I submit my life into your hands. And then we read later in Acts chapter 12, when he was in prison, after James was martyred, the next day it was Peter's turn. And he was sitting in the prison, and it says, the scripture says that he was fast asleep, although he was going to be martyred the next day, to the point where the angel came and had to nudge him to wake him up, to say, come on, let's go. It's not your time yet. And he took him out and freed him from prison. But look, when he submitted to God, he lived a life without any fear. One of the blessings of submitting to God. Lastly, we fulfill God's work when we submit to Him. If I participate in God's work, I will receive the reward that God has prepared for all of us. If you look at the life of St. Paul, or the Saul of Tarsus and his conversion, St. Stephen and his submission to be martyred while being witnessed to St. Paul or Saul of Tarsus, this was part of God's plan. Certainly, the image of St. Stephen being stoned and the peace and the radiant light that was around him and the fact that he saw heaven open, all of these things certainly left an imprint in the mind of St. Paul. So when the Lord Jesus came and appeared to him on the road to Damascus, he put the two together and he changed his life completely. Right? So now St. Paul, instead of being a persecutor of the church, now became the greatest evangelist of all the church. Again, because he submitted himself. And not him, but many others. So when I submit to the will of God, I become a member or a participant in the work of God and the salvation of the world, as the apostles did. May God grant us to submit to him, that we might be worthy of the reward that he has planned for all of us. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.